Welcome everyone. This is episode 234 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on keeping your mind in check. And the anchor scripture is going to be taken from the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. And we're going to be reading from the King James Version. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So last week, we started on keeping your mind in check, and we shared a few principles. You know, starting in verse 15, last time, just as a quick, brief recap, we said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We established that, and let, that means it's you that you kind of have a choice to make. You can decide what rules your heart or not. I would say, what should rule your heart? Says the peace of God. The peace of God. So again, go back and listen to that if you want to get some more clarity on that principle. Went into it in a little more detail. Okay. So it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We've talked about that. Okay, let's go to the next statement. To the which also ye are called in one body. To the which ye are also called in one body. That gives us another principle for keeping one's mind in check. What is the other principle? The other principle for keeping your mind in check is having that mindset of togetherness. Having that mindset of community. Not having that mindset of being individualistic. So don't get me wrong. There are certain things in life where you need to be. It's personal. It's between you and God. It's one individual with God in that circumstance. You know, like your relationship with God. Is your relationship with God. You being God is your relationship with God. It's a thing between you and God, right? But one thing that's very important is having that spirit of community, that spirit of togetherness. And let me maybe explain by using some examples. People that have the spirit of community and the spirit of togetherness, they're always thinking not just of themselves, but they're also thinking about other people. They're not just only thinking about their own well-being, but they're also thinking about other people. They're not only thinking about, how much they can accumulate on this earth. They're also thinking about other people. They ask themselves, God, these gifts and talents that you have placed in my hands, how can I use it for the benefit of other people within the body of Christ and other people out there in the world? Those people are not self-minded. They are other people minded. That's a very big difference between them and people that do not have their minds in check. And going to an even broader audience, if you look at the early church, one of the reasons the early church was very prosperous, was very successful in fulfilling their God-given mandate was why? Because they had that spirit of community and togetherness. The Bible says that people sold their stuff and brought it to the church, and then those things were distributed amongst the poor. So everyone was like everyone's brother's keeper. Because that's one thing people don't understand. When there's community, when there's togetherness, rapid progress is very possible. You know, many people always think of the Tower of Babel in a very negative light. It's in the Old Testament. But no, there's actually a very positive lesson from that. These people literally were making rapid progress. God was like, wow, These people, what they have set their mind to achieve, they will actually achieve it because they are together. They are one people. They have one voice. They have one language. They have one everything. That's togetherness. That's why the body of, that's why the Bible keeps using this term, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, one body, one body, one body, right? Because believe it or not, one of the reasons why you see a lot of, quite a number of issues actually in Christendom these days is that there is a lot of infighting. There's a lot of, oh, this is my denomination, this is my ministry, this is my this, this is my that. No, we need to have that spirit of community and togetherness. Right, so just let that be a mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have that same mind. Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he was not just looking out for himself, he was looking out for other people, he was looking out for the good of other people. When you have that mindset, you'll be kind to people as you drive on the road. When you have that mindset, you'll be kind to your spouse. When you have that mindset, you'll be kind to your children. When you have that mindset, you want to help other people. Again, remember, the topic is keeping your mind in check, right? So if you're a person that is not just thinking about himself, but think of others higher than yourself, that's a person's mind that is properly in check. And again, it's not something that is natural, but it's something that you can cultivate by the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then let's go to the next statement here that takes us to our next principle. He says, and be ye thankful. And be thankful. I'm telling you this, it's very important to be thankful. It's a way to keep your mind in check. The thing is very easy with the challenges you may be facing to say, oh, you know what, let me complain, let me murmur, let me do this, let me do that, let me do this, let me do that, right? But the thing is, if you're complaining and you're murmuring, you keep seeing the problem. You don't see the deliverance of the God that you serve. And let me tell you this, you're not helping yourself under those kinds of circumstances. That is absolutely the truth. You're literally not helping yourself under those kinds of circumstances. It's very important to be thankful, regardless of what is going on in your life. Apostle Paul, there was a part of scripture where he said, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. So this was not a person that was focused on the circumstances that surrounded him. The only thing he was focused on, literally the only thing he was focused on, right? So again, it was not the circumstances that surrounded him that he focused on. The only thing that he literally focused on was Christ. Christ in him, that was his hope of glory. So I think it's just very important, be thankful. Because I'm telling you, if you look for a reason to complain, I promise you, you will complain. You will literally complain. There are many things to complain about. There are many things to murmur about. But let me tell you this, on the flip side, there's also many things to be thankful for. The situation you may be going through right now, you're like, wow, this is, But I'm telling you, that situation you're going through right now may actually be what a person is praying for to be their own circumstances, right? So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter. Literally, be thankful to God. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God the Father, right? So just remember, please, to give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Right? Again, I don't know who is listening to this, but I want to encourage you to give thanks, because again, there will always be reasons why you don't want to give thanks. But no, the fact that you are alive, the Bible says that a living dog is better than a dead lion, right? You did not pass on from sleep to death, right? You may not have lived a life that was pleasing to God for so long, but God still had mercy on you and saved you. He gave you the breath of life. He gave you good health. Right. Think to the number of people that are in the hospital. Many people now, for them, COVID is like an afterthought. Well, there are people in the hospital, believe it or not, that are dying of COVID. Right. Or, you know, you've not been diagnosed with any kind of cancer or terminal illness or whatever. You have a lot of reasons to thank God. Right. You can breathe the breath of life. You can open your mouth and put food in your mouth. Your belly can digest food. You can use your own nose to breathe. You don't have any tube that's helping you to breathe. You don't have any tube that's helping you to eat. You're not getting your food through an IV. That's more than enough reason to thank God, right? The fact that you even know Christ, honestly, is a reason to be thankful to God. Because again, the Bible says no one comes to the Father except the Father draws him. What if you were left in the world to live a life of sin and go to hell? But no, God saved you. God helped you, right? So those are reasons to be thankful, because I'm telling you, like, if you have that gratitude mindset, I'm telling you, your mind will be in the right place. A gratitude mindset is a good mindset. A gratitude mindset is a healthy mindset. And don't just restrict being thankful to Thanksgiving. You see people during the month of November, oh, I'm thankful for a Thanksgiving dinner. They say, what you're thankful for. No, being thankful should be your constant lifestyle. It should not just be a Thanksgiving kind of thing. It should be a lifestyle kind of thing. I think that's extremely important. Like, literally, that's extremely important, right? So just remember to be thankful. I'm telling you, it's a very... Because, again, the world we live in today, people are always complaining, murmuring. Instead, remember to be thankful. If you're thankful, I'm telling you, it will help you rise above many of the challenging circumstances that people deal with. You may be dealing with a challenging circumstance, but it will give you a very different perspective compared to those people. I'm telling you, you can always be thankful, even if you have cancer, even if you have a terminal illness. You can always be thankful. There's no situation where you cannot be thankful. Why? Because thankfulness is an intentional thing. Thankfulness is a thing of choice. It's not a thing based on circumstances. If you want your circumstances to determine your state of thankfulness, then sometimes you're going to be thankful, sometimes you will not be thankful, right? But that thankfulness that comes from the Most High God is from your heart. It's a deep-seated thing. It's something you choose. I remember the early apostles, in the book of Acts, they had just been flogged for preaching the gospel of Christ. And they were smiling, they were happy. Look at their circumstances, being flogged. It probably hurt. It probably did hurt, right? But they were thankful for being flogged for the gospel of Christ. So those people, it was not their circumstance that determined their state of mind, but it was them making that decision. Thankfulness is a choice. Thankfulness is a decision. And as we wrap up today, because again, there's, by the grace of God, going to be a next part to this. I want to ask you a question. Do you know Christ? We've just been talking about gratitude. The thing is, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we were all born into sin. But Jesus Christ came. He was nailed to the cross. He shed his blood to save and to deliver us from sin. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Right? We're born into sin because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But by giving your life to Christ, you can be born again. You can have a new beginning. Have you lived your life in sin? Have you lived your life in iniquity? Let me tell you this. Jesus is calling you today. And don't turn your nose at his voice. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Right? A person that is ungrateful has a hard heart. A person that is grateful, a person that is thankful, has a soft heart. Don't harden your heart. Be receptive to the commands of the Lord. Be receptive to his offer. So if you're willing to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I am a sinner. I confess all my sins. I lay them bare before you. Please forgive me. Let that blood that you shed on the cross blot away all unrighteousness, blot away all iniquity. Come into my life and live in me. Come and save me and come and be my Lord. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a brand new beginning and help me to honor you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for all these people that have surrendered their lives to you, including myself and everyone listening to this podcast. I pray, number one, that may you please give us the grace to continue to honor you with our lives. Give us the grace, Lord, to not give up in this race of salvation. Number two, I pray that may you give us the grace to have a mind of community and togetherness, to not be self-centered, but to think of others more highly than ourselves, to think of the good, to think of the needs of others, in the name of Jesus. And then number three, we're praying for the grace to always be thankful. Your word says, give thanks. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God the Father. Help us to do your will by being thankful in every situation, that your name alone might be glorified. Because Lord, Jesus Christ, when he had the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, I think, he It was a dire situation. It was not just a situation of, well, I want to perform a miracle. No, it was a dire situation. There were lots of people there that needed food. And he had very little food. That was a boy's lunch, I believe. But he gave thanks. And when he gave thanks, there was multiplication. Heavenly Father, as we are thankful to you, as we are thankful to you, let there be multiplication in every area of our lives. And Lord, another example of thanksgiving was the 10th leper. You know, the 10th, you know, they were all healed. You know, the lepers were all healed. But there was only one that returned to give thanks. And the one that returned to give thanks, the Bible says that he was made whole. My King and my God, as we make that decision to live lives of thankfulness, Father, thank you for the work you have hitherto done in our lives. We pray, Lord, that may you make us whole. Being made whole means that everything. Because if a person has leprosy, when they're healed of that leprosy, the thing is no longer bothering them. You know, that's a good thing. There's healing. But leprosy causes scar tissue. It causes scars and scars and scars. There's a difference between being healed of leprosy and being made whole. Father, please, that thanksgiving that brings wholeness, just like it did for that 10th leper, please, Lord, let it be our portion. To the glory, to the honor, and to the praise of your name. Thank you for your word. Please teach us the next few principles on keeping our minds in check so that we can live lives that are pleasing to you. Glory to your name, O God. I commit this week into your hands. I pray that may you please help us. This weekend, actually, may you please help us to continue to fight that fight of faith, to continue to run that race of holiness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. For those that have prayed the prayer of salvation, congratulations. You are a child of God. There are three things you need to do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101. 96 to 101 on the website. It's titled, The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow your walk with Christ. Number two, find a Bible-believing church. A Bible-believing church. Not just a church, but a Bible-believing church. Find a church where you can hear the true, pure, undiluted word of God. So after you learn in church, compared to what you have read in your Bible at home, does it line up? Does it tally? If it doesn't, that's not a place you want to be. And then number three, find a Bible translation you understand. Many people understand the New Living Translation. I love the New Living Translation. Read it. Meditate on it. Think about what you've read. Write down action steps for your life and follow them. As you do those things, you'll see your life take a turn for the better. So until episode 235, have a wonderful weekend. The Lord bless you. Shalom.